You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Communism is a fail system, universally fail system. And I don't see socialism as a very useful substitute, but that's another story. Cuba is unfortunately a failed state in repressing their citizens.
Wow, that's a big admission from President Biden. This is July 16, 2021. Within the last 24 hours, we have seen two major admissions from the White House. And they are major, and yet the mainstream or now state-controlled media is trying to slip right past it or rework it, rephrase it, re-narrate it, anything to keep it from appearing to be what it is and an admission that, one, as you heard from Biden just say, communism is a failed system. It doesn't work. Well, that flies in the face of the really progressive left that insists, oh, no, we need to move more closer to Marxism, to communism. No word yet on what the squad has to say directly, and by that I mean AOC and the others, and those that are around them and in their shadow because they fear stepping out of their shadow and they fear speaking out against the mob before they get canceled. But here was President Biden making that statement. Now, he makes the statement, and then later, you're going to hear later over the next 2 hours, you also hear his White House spokesman kind of begin to put a little spin on it already. And you know where they still trace it back? The uprising in Cuba? Not the failed communism government, which Biden just announced, but Trump and handling COVID and COVID wrecking that nation. And they've got down on MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell helping carrying that water for them. We're going to get into that as well. The other big admission, Jen Psaki, White House spokesman, admitting flat out, yeah, we tell Facebook what to do and how to deal with people that we don't like on Facebook. They don't say it in that many words, but it is as close as you can get. I'll read one of her statements here, and you're going to hear it later. She's talking about that we basically are flagging posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. The White House is flagging information that it considers disinformation on Facebook and, of course, every other media outlet that they can control. If I simply put up on Larry Connors USA Facebook, today we're going to talk about COVID, and that's all I say. I just say the word COVID. I immediately get a flag on that same post saying, for full, complete, accurate information, go to this site. Yes, that is a form of censorship. I have told you repeatedly, censorship by any other name is still censorship. We're going to have a lot to get into that. And also, of course, we've got the book that's coming out of the Washington Post claiming that Trump was the chief of staff, and Army and Marine and military leaders were so frightened that Trump was going to try an insurrection that they were thought we might have to get our troops out to put down an insurrection. They continue building and peddling on that lie out of the January 6th event. Well, there was an insurrection, a case again today, I think actually yesterday, in a federal building, and Capitol Police made an arrest. It was a Democrat. I haven't heard them say she's guilty of insurrection. And if you're waiting for them to do it, I would not hold your breath. We're also going to be joined before this hour is out Jonathan Butcher with Heritage Foundation. He points out that we've got California school districts approving $40 million mandatory ethnic studies based on critical race theory. And the state of California, L.A. County in particular, says you need to mask back up. Back up. In the meantime, Disneyland in California, they're sending thousands of workers and people to Florida because the taxes are less. Even Disney is fleeing the blue state, of California. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. We're not just conservative, not just independent, not, of course, liberal. What we are here is 100% patriotic, lock and load, ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting ting like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting ting like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We are in regular touch with these social media platforms, and those engagements typically happen through members of our senior staff, but also members of our COVID-19 team. Given, as Dr. Murthy conveyed, this is a big issue of misinformation, specifically on the pandemic. In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government. We've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook.
There you have it. Jen Psaki, White House press secretary, just kind of laying it out. And did she not know what she was saying, or she just didn't give a damn? And you say, yeah, this is what we're doing. This is how we're making the sausage. Here's a look behind the curtain. Her statement should be extremely concerning to you if you're concerned at all about the First Amendment. Here is the White House. White House press secretary revealing, basically, although she's treating it like it's a matter of fact, it's routine business. Yeah, I'm sure with the Democrats it is routine. Saying that we had taken or working to take to increase disinformation research and tracking, and we're flagging posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. That it should give you a pause and say, what did she say? Did Larry just repeat what she said, that the White House is flagging posts for Facebook that spread disinformation? Yep, they did, and I said it again. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, says that is damn frightening.
I think it's really scary to have the federal government of the United States, the White House, compiling lists of people, organizations, whatever, and then going to a private company that, by the way, is a monopoly, Facebook, and saying, you need to censor, you need to do something about this. You need to tell these users, these private users on a private company, what they can or cannot say. I mean, I just think that this kind of coordination between big government and the big monopoly corporation, boy, that is scary stuff.
It is scary stuff. Now, also keep in mind what he was just talking about. Remember, we have Facebook claiming, and they have been granted by Congress, Facebook and the other social media platforms, they have been granted special protection, cannot be sued for liability of slander and so forth. Because if folks can just, from any place at any time, send a message and put it up on Facebook, well, then it's there before basically anyone can see it and shut it down. And they've got algorithms, I guess, that could do some of it to some extent, but they also have to acknowledge at some point, it might get up there before we see it, and then someone then wants to sue Facebook because it got slandered on Facebook by someone's remarks. We need protection. Well, Congress gave them that protection, immunity from such lawsuits. And what's the difference between that and standard media, such as this radio station or any other radio TV station outlet, whether or not they're doing a commentary or news or whatever they're doing, it really makes no difference. It's just, what is the difference? The difference being that if I invite someone on, to discuss a particular subject and they say something slanderous, libelous, then when they go after that person, the one suing might also go after me, and in turn the station. And the same thing with TV news stations and operations and network operations. All of them are open to lawsuits if someone is on their air because they have either invited them on or had them on and had to be aware that this could happen. Now, if it's a live event, a live interview, and someone says something and just blurts it out, then that's why you're supposed to have a delay so it does not get out to the audience. But for the big tech companies, they have just been given protection. If they're going to act like they are now, though, and in cahoots with the White House, the Biden-Harris administration, then we need to look at them closer as just being just another public utility. And we regulate public utilities as to how much they can charge, when they can put an increase in, and under what factors and so forth. That's a public utility side. And then also we'd strip them of this immunity issue if necessary. On one hand, I will say this. I think they should have immunity if it's an open platform. But here's the issue. It's not really an open platform as we're seeing now. If they decide, or the White House decides, that your posts are wrong or misinformation or not to be followed, or you might create more fake concerns and so forth, or actually you're reporting facts, but they want to label them as such, as fake. If they're going to continue to have that, well then, yeah, we should be open to suing them. There is no justification for a big tech operation to simply say to the president of the United States, while he was still president, we're shutting your platforms down, and that they continue to ban him. And I don't know how many people that reach out to me. I'm in Facebook jail again. You won't hear from me for a while. I told you before that when I had, at one point, I had Sidney Powell on. We were interviewing her, and I said, Sidney, we had just launched a YouTube channel. And if you recall, Sidney Powell, one of the original lawyers, along with Giuliani and others that were all kind of involved in different aspects of challenging the election. She said, well, if you put on YouTube, they're going to take it down 15 minutes. I said, well, we'll see. We put it on, and it went up, I think, almost for a month before somebody said, whoa, look what Larry Connors USA did. We get a notice from Facebook. We're taking that down. You put one up. If you put up another interview with her, we will suspend you for a month. And if you do it another time, we will shut you down permanently. Candace Owens. Candace Owens is a push to get her to run for president. Black conservative woman. She's on Twitter. But if you sign up to join or something, you suddenly get a warning from Twitter. This site and people on it might be not factual and truthful, so forth and so on. Be careful before you join it. Dana Loesch, of course, a conservative woman, part of the Missouri Tea Party when it started here, and syndicated broadcaster as well, has said that she's had thousands of her Twitter followers just chopped off by Twitter. I've had numerous guests tell me the same. I question my numbers. But then when you look at how the White House has been working with Facebook, specifically COVID, listen how detailed this gets.
There's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation on social media platforms. All of them remain active on Facebook, despite some even being banned on other platforms, including Facebook, ones that Facebook owns. Third, it's important to take faster action against harmful posts. As you all know, information travels quite quickly on social media platforms. Sometimes it's not accurate, and Facebook needs to move more quickly to remove harmful, violative posts. Posts that will be within their policies for removal often remain up for days. That's too long. The information spreads too quickly.
Spreads too quickly. Let me break down what she just said. First of all, she said there are about 12 people who produce 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation. Now, what do they mean by misinformation? You can be an anti-vaccine person, and you're not being spreading misinformation. I was talking to some people last night. They're not for the vaccines. But they tell people, you do what you need to do, but I'm not going to, and I'm against the vaccine, they say. That's their choice. If they put up something like that on their Facebook and simply say, I'm not going to get the vaccine. I worry about it. I'm concerned. Well, they could be taken down or challenged by Facebook. And the White House is flagging them. The White House working in concert, because the White House decides that what's misinformation, what's fact. Yeah, they are a perfect arbiter. Is that correct, Senator Josh Hawley?
Well, at this point, you really have to wonder how private of companies they are. I mean, if you're taking direction from the federal government, openly coordinating with the federal government, you've got the government saying, we think that this speech ought to be censored in big tech if they carry out those instructions. I mean, that looks like they're starting to operate as a public utility. They're acting like arms of the government. And when they're monopolies, that's a big problem.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was addressing a moment ago. So Saskia talks about the 12 people spreading 65% of the anti-vaccine misinformation. And again, what do they mean by misinformation? And they're calling it harmful post. What's a harmful post if you're expressing your view? Folks can say you're an idiot, not follow you, or they can just say, yeah, I'm with you. And as she said, information travels quite quickly on social media platforms. Yes. And then she adds, sometimes it's not accurate. Yes. And also on the major networks and CNN and MSNBC and all the rest of the state-controlled media. Sometimes it's not, let me put it this way, often it's not accurate. But then she says, on behalf of the White House, Facebook needs to move more quickly. They need to remove these harmful posts faster. Well, what's harmful? Is it because it goes against what the White House is saying? Bear with me for a moment. Let's just do a fast retrack of history. And as I said, if I put up, I'm looking at one of the posts right now. I went back and looked at a post I put up on June 30. And somewhere in there, let me see exactly what I said that caught Facebook's attention. I said, we're talking at that time, breaking news about Bill Cosby at that time. And, I had Ed Hazelmeyer, expert in healthcare with the Heritage Foundation, joining me to discuss how vaccine works and the issues people have with it. That's all. How it works and the issues some people have with it. Didn't take one side or the other, just simply posting it. But it got immediately flagged by Facebook. There's a statement right below that saying, from Facebook, visit the COVID Information Center for vaccine resources. Below that, get vaccine info. That would be accurate, what I'm going to have with the Heritage Foundation will not. They've already decided it's not. But if we go back in history, when Donald Trump was saying it, all of this came out of the lab, Wuhan lab, they said, no way, no way, it didn't happen. You were anti-yellow people. And then 180 degrees from that now, we're at White House and so forth, all admitting, even Dr. Fake, it could have been. So as Senator Hawley points out, what is fake and what's real?
Here's the bottom line. To have these monopoly companies acting in concert with the government to say, you can say this, you can't say that, we're going to decide, that is just antithetical to the First Amendment of the United States. It's antithetical to free and open debate. And we've seen the standards evolve, as it turns out, as you point out, what they used to say is, oh, that's crazy, it's disinformation. Now they say, oh, it's a very valid possibility, may well be the source of COVID-19.
Yeah, now they do. But at that time, they didn't. And also, even now that they acknowledge it, kind of come through, any time you put something up, you're entitled to be for or against a vaccine. And you can say what you want about you and your family getting it or not getting it. Or relate a story that someone told you, third, fourth, fifth source. It may be totally false. You're just writing and spreading it. And that's, you know, could be considered fake or wrong. We don't know. But the White House, damn it, the White House should not be determining it and telling Facebook, we're flagging this. You need to make sure it comes off and comes off quickly. Now, what about a book that comes out that we're supposed to believe is full of accuracies, such as a book that claimed Trump was going to take over the government? We'll pick up that story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That excerpt from this latest book that suggests that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the other service chiefs were genuinely concerned, given his actions and statements, that former President Trump might try to go outside the boundaries of our Constitution should concern all of us.
That is a Senator Coons from Delaware in an interview with Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC. And, of course, they were talking about this new book written by a Washington Post writer where they were apparently in the book quoting Chief of Staff Miley that they feared he and the other top brass in the Pentagon feared that then-President Donald Trump and allies might attempt a coup or take other dangerous or illegal measures after the November election. It's a book. Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post reporters, Carol Lenig, I think, and Philip Rucker, and they describe how the Joint Chiefs discussed a plan to resign one by one rather than carry out orders from Trump that they considered illegal, dangerous, and ill-advised. A Saturday night massacre in reverse, they say. Well, of course, first of all, do you buy that that actually happened like that? I don't know. I wasn't there. You weren't either. So they are apparently quoting them correctly. But I want you to hear how Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC, because this is the way the state-controlled media is doing things right now. Whether or not it's true, they're buying it. They're just flat sucking it up. Listen to this.
The Washington Post revealing today that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, was worried about what former President Trump might do to maintain power after losing the election and if a coup was forthcoming. This according to this new book by the Post's Phil Rucker and Carol Lienig, saying, quote, this is a Reichstag moment, Milley told aides, according to the book, The Gospel of the Fuhrer. What's your reaction to that?
That's a really striking excerpt from that book, Andrea, and I hope all of your watchers take a moment to focus on this. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a career Army leader, someone who is at the highest levels of our military, according to that book, took seriously the idea that President Trump would try to overthrow the government and to exercise authoritarian leadership of our country. That is a chilling allegation.
You know, Senator Coons knows CYA. You know CYA. Cover your arse. Because he said those allegations, if true, but Andrea Mitchell, the way she presents it, oh, she's bitten into it. I mean, she is a catfish that went for the blood bait on that treble hook, and she has gulped it all the way down her throat. She's buying, not even questioning it, and flat out asking him, well, what do you think? And she wants him to basically say, yeah, that was dangerous. Senator Coons, well-skilled in CYA, didn't quite go all the way, but he does say, and he's right, if that actually happened like that, it is concerning. I agree. I have told you before on this program, if you listen to me at all, you know that I called balls and strikes. I have said several things against Trump, which did not make Trump supporters happy. That's tough, because I'm going to say it anyway if I believe it. But I don't know if Trump was really doing this. I don't know if these guys just didn't all kind of get together and make this up themselves. One tells a story, one adds to it, and pretty soon you got a book. Oh, by the way, There was one person arrested in the Hart Senate office building, Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, Democrat of Ohio today, shouting and yelling, let the people vote, fight for justice. Capitol Police arrested her. They're going to charge her with insurrection? Don't hold your breath. Coming up, CRT.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, there are some California school districts approving $40 million mandatory spending on ethnic studies based on CRT, critical race theory. And joining us to get into that detailed discussion, Jonathan Butcher, Heritage Foundation, researching and testifying on education policy around the nation. In fact, currently we're working on a book discussing critical race theory in schools and our national identity. Jonathan, glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Great to be with you.
Well, by the way, what's the time frame for your book to come out, looking at CRT and our national identity?
Well, the great publishers at Postal Press have said the end of February next year, but there's a chance we could get it out earlier than that. We'll see. We'll move as quickly as we can.
I certainly hope so, because a lot of folks, we need more information on what's going on out there. And the Heritage Foundation, obviously not on the input, but the facts that you bring to it. So let's look at this piece that I was discussing that was published in the New York Post, I think. But it deals with critical race theory, and that the California school districts approving $40 million mandatory ethnic studies courses. Okay. Ethnic courses, I don't know exactly what that means, but I have no problem with discussing ethnicity and understanding differences and how cultures impact and reflect and so forth. But when they base it upon critical race theory, which is the prime piece, is whites are always the oppressor, and if you're white, you got to feel guilty, then I say, there's another waste of money, but it's California, whatever. What's your take?
Well, sure. The issue here is racial discrimination. That has no place in our schools or in our culture. And so, sure, we should have a thorough retelling of American history. We should be talking about the Civil War. We should be talking about slavery, the Jim Crow era, for the very express purpose so that those things are not repeated. And so if we have something that is teaching students today that the only way forward is discrimination, then we are going backwards and we are setting these children back. And most importantly, we're saying that the American dream doesn't belong to them.
Well, also, when you look at this, I mean, we've got, in fact, there is one small school district already, the first in California, start enforcing this. We send our kids to school, and we're talking about elementary, junior, and in fact, elementary, middle, and high school. You know, they're supposed to be getting an education, not an indoctrination.
Well, most certainly. I mean, California has all sorts of examples of what's going on with these compelled instructional practices that push students and teachers, for that matter, to act in discriminatory ways. Quick examples, right? There's a new math curriculum, mathematics, developed by educators in California, where one of the instructions is for teachers to assign homework based on the needs of students of color. So not how well they're doing in class, not how well they did last year or what they need to know, but based on their ethnicity.
And what do you mean they're assigning it based on color? That because if you're a particular color, you're not going to have as much homework, or we're going to give you easier problems? Help me understand that.
They don't provide details.
I'm totally surprised. Surely they do.
I mean, in one line, it just says that's how you should decide homework is based on the needs of children of color, which is letting those students down, right?
Yes, it's not giving them an education.
Yeah, of course. Every child deserves a great opportunity.
Well, also, you've got Kenny Zhu, I think that's correct pronunciation, who has been fighting back, Colorist United, president of that group, and Asian, and he says Asians have been targeted as well in all of this. He says, Color Us United, quote, opposes dividing America by race, religion, sexual orientation, or any other characteristic. Americans deserve to know how their money is being spent, and taxpayer dollars should not be used to fund courses that are fundamentally racist and anti-American. That's a piece he wrote for the Wall Street Journal.
Well, exactly. And we can find examples of this despite what the opponents may say. The opponents may say, oh, no, critical race theory is not taught in schools. You don't know what you're talking about. When, in fact, in Portland public schools, there's a group called the Critical Race Theory Coalition. They're teachers. They put their summit on YouTube. You can listen to what they're saying. And they call themselves the Critical Race Theory Coalition. There's a school district in California, the Haywood School District, that said in a press release that they are going to include critical race theory in their ethnic studies program.
At all ages, right?
Well, the ages for that school district, that school district may only serve high school. It may only serve elementary and middle. But, I mean, the examples abound. I mean, you can find it for elementary school, middle school, high school, from Loudoun County, Virginia, to Iowa City, Iowa, where there's a lesson plan about teaching students about white privilege and saying that individuals who are white are inherently guilty of oppressing other people. So, look, this is something that is not preparing students to be technically savvy and prepared for either the workforce or to enter college. This is something that is dividing people into tribes.
Exactly.
We need to help prepare children for opportunity.
Yeah, and division is the key word there. If they're working on a math problem, they just came up with division, that's for sure. And by the way, since you brought up the Haywood Unified School District, they did provide, they approved money to cover recruiting training materials for that policy, and it was fought back on one side, not by anyone based on color, but upon religion. The Jewish News Syndicate said that a Jewish caucus had warned that an early draft of that curriculum would, quote, marginalize Jewish students and fuel hatred and discrimination against the Jewish community. And yet it's going to be a graduation requirement by next year.
Well, and there are other districts, is my understanding, around California that are going to require this as well. I mean, look, we need to be holding schools accountable for preparing children to be successful in school and in life. We need to be teaching them that entrepreneurship is not a bad word, and that meritocracy means that we're going to judge you based on what you can produce and what you can do, and that is what is going to help them achieve their goals in life, right? Everybody wants their every parent wants their child to have that kind of success. That's what we need to be bringing to our schools and to our culture.
All right, I want to go back to the original statement from the California school districts and their, how they describe ethnic studies, because I said a moment ago I don't really know what it means, but I'll give you their definition and your reaction. They write, ethnic studies is the interdisciplinary study of race and ethnicity, okay, as understood through the perspectives of major underrepresented racial groups in the U.S., and then they were listed, those underrepresented African-Americans, Chicanx, Latinx, I should say, Asian Americans, Native Americans, indigenous groups, Pacific Islanders, Arab Americans, and adds, this discipline contends with racism, white supremacy culture, anti-blackness, anti-indigeneity, and nation-within-nation relationships. We're going to start putting that in the face of children in elementary school. By the time they come out of high school, they are totally indoctrinated.
Well, most certainly, and especially when we look at the rates of reading and math proficiency among students in California and really states around the U.S., we have never been in a point at which we can say, wow, we have really prepared children to do the basics that school is meant to provide them. And now they're turning the whole subject away from technical skills to, as you described, very political perspectives on race in the United States, instead of trying to create an understanding that we need to share this culture together, right?
We need
to create something where neighbors and friends can all have a conversation about what's important to them.
And do they not understand that doing it this way, they're basically saying that anyone of color is not capable of learning, that they're not capable of advancing, they're not capable of being, I mean, we have lawyers, attorneys, doctors, health professionals, politicians all across the nation of various standings, of various shades of color. I mean, are we going to try to say, if you're a color, we're just going to have to help you because you're not going to be able to make it on your own?
Well, and we've seen parents speaking at school board meetings around the country on YouTube who say just to address that very thing. I mean, there are examples of parents standing up and saying, wait a minute, not only do I not want this taught to my child, but you can't say this about me. And you know, people from all different sorts of backgrounds have been getting up before a school board and saying, wait a minute, this doesn't describe me. And, you know, people are talking about how they created a life for themselves and they want their children prepared to create a life when they finish school. So, you know, this critical view is working backwards.
I was watching a piece of a video, and I would have put it up for the audience, Dave. It's kind of hard to hear. It's a woman talking about how important critical race theory is. She's surrounded by a mixture of parents, mostly white. And she's going on and on that this is what we have to do. We're going to do this. It may have been a district in California. I'm not sure. But bottom line, she said, and if they're not going to follow along with this, they're not going to accept it, then they should just die. And she got applause in the last 15, 20 seconds here, Jonathan. Is CRT going to survive or is it going to be put down?
No, it's going to drive people from so many different sectors of society apart and create so much opposition that it will swallow itself. Eventually, it cannot coexist with America's promise of freedom and opportunity for all.
All right. Jonathan Butcher, Heritage Foundation, again, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. And folks, to that extent, their claims, obviously, the CRT in the military is making our military force less effective. We'll try to deal with that in more detail another time. Coming up, the head of CNN is in trouble. Oh, tears.
if you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I'm trying to wipe away my tears because I told you as we went to the break that the head of CNN is in trouble. He's failing at what he's supposed to be doing. That is continue to make the network bigger and better and more powerful and take over the world. And he's failing. Does it bring a tear to your eye? We're talking about Jeff Zucker. Of course, he oversaw NBC's Today program during the Matt Lauer era, I should say. And I'm reading a piece written by DePaul University professor and media critic Jeffrey McCall, who said, Zucker masterminded a successful run for Today at NBC. He was less driven at that time to force ideology into every aspect of programming. There's the key. He goes on to say the ratings for New Day at CNN, he says, are shockingly low, almost at the point where they're merely collecting viewers who are randomly cruising through a channel lineup. See, New Day was supposed to be CNN's flagship morning program, as NBC's Today program was. In fact, I'm reading a piece composed for Fox broadcast operation. Of course, you could imagine they're gonna fire and shoot and attack CNN and NN. But some of the stuff here I want to share with you because it has some value in the sense of understanding again what's wrong with the state-controlled media today. And they look at themselves in the mirror that can't be me. I'm making everything right. I mean, you know, but they're not. They just violated the basic tenet if they're supposed to be, quote, a news organization, and when they force ideology into every aspect of programming. The very thing Jeffrey McCall, the DePaul University professor, stated a moment ago in that piece I read. And Zucker's been trying to do that with New Day. It was going to be CNN's flagship morning program. Broadcast trade publications, according to this report, fawned over the elaborate set design. See, those set designs, they have always been a facade, folks. I want you to understand that. I was in television broadcasting on the news side for almost 50 years, well, not quite 50 years doing just that, but whenever ratings start to go low, there are a couple things that can happen. One, you can fire the news director. Well, if he won't stay around him, you could fire the anchors, and sometimes that happens too. Or then again, we could just build a new set. Put a new set up. Get carpenters in there, construct an entire new set. So folks tune in to watch just your TV news set where the anchors sit and walk and talk. I know it sounds stupid. It is stupid. But my God, I thought many times I need to get in television new set design and creation because they do fawn over it. The broadcast production groups looking at the major networks, look what they've done here. In fact, CNN even enlisted pop music superstar Alicia Keys to perform a promo jingle at that time. But all of this has been disastrous. 8 years, multiple lineup changes later, they still are trying to remain relevant. Less than 500,000 average viewers for 11 straight weeks. They also do admit, yeah, we change anchors a lot of times, and that's a problem. Yeah, it is. They keep thinking that it's got to be the anchor, it's got to be this. Eventually, somebody like shareholders or stockholders say, you know, maybe it's the leadership. And maybe it's the very thing of what you're trying to do is the American public has had enough of this flim-flam. We want accurate, unedited, non-biased information. Let us make our own information. But they continue to do what they can to try to move the pea under a different pod and see if you can find it now. And then as we began this hour talking about how the White House has admitted that it works with Facebook on flagging posts that it thinks might should be considered fake and should be labeled as such so folks reading it don't believe it. It's not a far stretch, and we know it's happened previously, that the White House is also telling networks what to do, how to do it, how to say it. If you remember, they had a CBS network for a period of time, news division. His brother was in the Obama White House. Do you not think there were some things going back and forth? Of course there were. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to take a closer look at the other White House admission, actually acknowledging communism, socialism, Marxism does not work. That's not going to fly well with the progressive left. But President Biden says it doesn't work. You think they're getting ready to draft the 25th resolution and get him out? If he's going that far, they're saying, yeah, he's mentally unstable at this point. We need to remove him now. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.